Bardsley, brought to you by Barfoot & Thompson.
On the show today, we're talking all things real estate with Mr. Real Estate himself, Matt Thompson. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday. Thanks for tuning in. If you're listening here on Planet FM, and of course you can listen to all of our podcasts available from all your favourite podcast sites. Here on season 8 of Property Matters, I'm really excited to have our next guest, who actually probably wins the award for being the closest to our studio because his branch is literally right above Planet FM. A big welcome to branch manager of Barfoot & Thompson, Mount Albert, Matt Thompson. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Stephen.
It's great to have you here. And look, I want to sort of chat about your journey in real estate. Okay, we're going to mention the name a little bit later on. But you've had quite a unique sort of journey into this space. So prep me, take us back. You finished high school. What made you suddenly decide to go down this path, or what happened before you went down this path?
Yeah, no, good question. I've got to think back a wee while now. Finished high school, and during the last couple of years at high school, Mum had always encouraged both me and my sister that, real estate shouldn't be a be-all and end-all. And I think that was probably on from Dad's experience having worked in the company. I think he had the opportunity to pursue a career beforehand, and I think had always really appreciated that. And so my sister went and did civil engineering, and I went down and studied to be a farmer down at Lincoln.
Wow.
So, yeah, a little bit different to selling homes in Remuera.
Visions of you chasing, like, cows around the paddock.
That and sheep and other various, four-legged friends. But, no, it was great. And it was probably there's a number of kind of sliding doors moments that you have throughout life, and that, for me, was a really, really big one. And for those of you who don't know Lincoln University, it's definitely one of the smaller universities in New Zealand, mainly agriculturally based. And I went from being one of 500 boys at Auckland Grammar to being one of 500 students in my year at Lincoln. Wow. There were, I think, 5 of us from Grammar that went down, as opposed to like 100 that went to Otago. And so studied down there. One of the requirements of the degree I was doing was doing farm work. So worked on a sheep and beef station down in Waipukurau, and then worked in a dairy, on a dairy operation in Tynwald, which is just south of Ashburton, and then eventually ended up in a pet food company. So graduated and had found that farming was great, really enjoyed it, but I think definitely that value add and supply chain management perspective was something that really resonated with me in terms of the process. Mm-hmm. And so went and worked for a company called K9 Natural, which is still alive and going and going really great, and did that for about 3 years out of uni, and then did the typical move and headed over to Europe, where I probably did the not so typical move and worked in France as opposed to London, had 3 seasons working in chalets and on the slopes and doing cash jobs and trying to just put food in mouth, and also worked in Spain skippering a yacht, and then also worked in the UK working for a coffee company, actually going around all the different festivals making coffee. So very, very broad. Not someone that I'd have to say I wouldn't be someone that you'd go to with your kids to get some very stable career advice up until I was about 26, 27. And that's when, reached out. I knew that time was probably over in Europe. Visa had expired, time to head home. And reached out to the CEO at the time, Wendy Alexander, who'd been a really good mate of Dad's and had always looked out for Nikki and myself and Mum, and said, hey, I'd like to just have the conversation. Met with her and Chris Dobby, who at the time was CFO, and had a chat, and ended up getting a role in the then accounts, now finance team, and the rest has kind of led to this point. So it's been brilliant. Great.
And did you always think you wanted to one day join this family business and head down this path, or is it a bit like the royal family and there's kind of the expectation that you have to, or a bit in the middle?
I think if you treat it like a, that's a really good question, Stephen. I think if you treat it like the latter, I think it it's almost self-perpetuating, right? Like, if you treat it like it's a duty or it's an obligation, I think it probably becomes that. I think, again, you know, kudos to Mum, who had always said, look, if you're going to do it, like, do it well. Like, don't just go in there and expect a free ride. But I think definitely do it on your own terms. You know, and I think make sure that, I know it sounds really grim, but not make sure that you've got an exit strategy, but make sure you're not doing it just because you can't do anything else. I think do it in the sense where you're there because you want to add value, you want to offer something different, and you're there because you want to be, but you're not there because you have to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the company's been around for over 100 years. Draw us a little picture of the family tree. What's your connection back up to the original first Thompson?
Yeah, so I'm great-grandson. So Morris, the founder, had two boys. He had John and Monty. John then had two boys, which was Peter and Mark. Peter's the current managing director, and my dad was the director before. Back in the day, Dad then passed away in 2002, and then Nikki and I are here now. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And what is it that you think makes this company so special that it is still here over 100 years? I mean, you only have to open any newspaper and see how many companies have gone under in the last few years, constant liquidations. What's made it stand the test of time?
I think, I think it's the fact that it's not just the two families. You know, I'm fourth generation. And, you know, I know that the Sykes also have a fourth generation child, and there's a multitude of families that are second generation. And I think it's the fact that people not only work for the company, but people keep working for the company and pass that kind of sense of care and duty, not just to their own, but also to clients and customers. You know, the number of customers and clients that we have where it's repeat business or it's a referral business, I think is really strong and a real credit to the people that we've got on the team. I don't think we've ever tried to move too fast either. I think it's always been very well thought out. I think there's a lot of conversations that take place, especially not just at the director level, but I think especially at the branch manager level. And I think, you know, not just the directors now, but I think the directors that have come and gone have always really respected that. You know, I think, you know, talking now as a branch manager and talking to other branch managers, I think one of the strengths is the fact that you are occasionally put in an environment where you're asked an honest opinion and you're not criticised for that opinion. You know, if anything, you're encouraged to express it. You're also encouraged to, obviously, express some solutions to the problems that you might be facing. So it's not a one-way street. But I think, the fact that there's that real give and take, I think has meant that we've just kept powering on. You know, it hasn't been these bolt-out-of-the-blue decisions that just suddenly cause chaos.
Now, you mentioned in an earlier question, you didn't just leap straight into management. You had to work your way through. You mentioned you did some time in accounts. Talk us through that journey. Sort of what departments have you worked your way through to get to this branch manager role that you're in now?
So started in finance. Started in finance, then went out to the front line. I did about a year in finance, and it was, again, in hindsight, really, really lucky to have Chris and Wendy that were able to set me up for that success, because it got my feet under. I hadn't worked in a desk for about 2.5 years. So it was good to do that, and also good to get to know the company without necessarily being on the front line. Same as you'd know, you know, when you're, or same as anyone in support centre knows, that when you're seeing people coming through support centre, it's quite a good way to see the breadth of the company rather than a silo mentality. But eventually the time came, I chucked off the training wheels and went out to Papatoetoe and worked out there for about 9 months in property management, right on the front line, being a letting agent. Then went to Stonefields, worked out of there for, I think it was just over a year and a half. And then, to your point, went and did sales for about 2.5 years, and then eventually became the relieving branch manager, which is kind of, for those listeners, it's kind of like a fun uncle / substitute teacher / branch manager. You go around a myriad of different branches and let them have a holiday. And then, it was really honoured and excited to be offered the opportunity to take the lead at Mount Albert last year, and it's been another roller coaster ever since. It's been awesome.
Are there certain moments in your history so far with the company that you'd mark off as like a career highlight? You know, those sort of turning points?
Yeah, I think definitely moments of success throughout, you know, finance and property management and sales, obviously all very different. You know, property management is very much around finding solutions. And, you know, the biggest wins and the biggest solutions generally come because of the biggest problems. So, yeah. So that's, you know, you're only really excited because you've had to go through a bit of a journey to get there. Sales is a bit different. Sales is a lot of grind and prospecting to get the work. But again, some of the wins there, you just don't forget in the hurry. You know, selling properties for, you know, $500,000 over reserve back in COVID, in COVID times, that was phenomenal. You know, seeing vendors in a room just openly crying because they just have achieved a result that we'd obviously hoped for, but I think was probably beyond their expectations. Is, yeah, there's a lot of moments that really, really stand out.
What about the biggest challenge when you look back so far, and whether it was here or even before Bath and Thomson, what's that moment that you go, whoa, that was a big challenge?
Yeah, you know, the biggest challenge, as long as you make it through it, I suppose, is often something that becomes the biggest learning opportunity. I must say, there was a really tight group of us at Papatoetoe and the property management team and across the branch, but I think that property management team was probably the strongest team I've ever worked for and worked with. And we were overseas. Our branch manager at the time unfortunately lost his life. I think the way that team pulled together and has since you know, kept on pulling together. Yeah. You know, we still reach out once a year and check in on each other. One of the guys that was someone that kind of showed me the ropes in my first week is now the godfather to my daughter. So, nice. You know, there's some pretty cool connections there. But I think that definitely would have been probably one of the most emotional experiences that I've been through, yeah.
Absolutely. So if we turn then to branch management, where you are now, do you feel the pressure of the family name to get it right? Yeah. Or are you allowed to make mistakes?
No, you definitely don't want to get it wrong. Yeah, to a point, I think. But one of the things as well, and probably where I've been really fortunate, having the mentorship and the guidance that I've had, and the fact that it has been, you know, 7 years, 8 years since I started, is that it's something that you've gotten used to. You haven't just been thrown in the deep end with that specific pressure. You know, like I had that pressure when I was in finance. Even, you know, you don't want to make a mistake because it's always easy to, you know, oh, you know, Matt Thompson, who does he think he is? Mm. You know, he's probably only here because of the last name. And you get it. And look, people are entitled to have their opinion. But I think that's kind of always been there in the background. So by the time you get to the branch manager, it's, yes, it's a factor, but it's no more of a factor than it was in day one. I think you've just got a slightly different skill set that you've now got, and there's more of a responsibility, I'd say, for me to get the role right for my team as a branch manager rather than necessarily as a Thompson that's also a branch manager.
Yeah. You're managing sales team, property management team, you'll have your admins, etc. What are you loving the most about this role? Is it that you've now got a sort of a team looking up to you?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much looking up. I think definitely, you know, the relieving branch manager role was without a doubt the single best thing that I could have done to prepare me for this role. I think, and it's great. I mean, like, every week you could be in a different branch, and it's so awesome. I looked after 35 different branches, so that's, you know, upwards of probably at least, oh, I mean, you'd be well over the 600-700 mark of people that you would have worked with.
Which is almost your best training platform 100%, ever, isn't it? Because you're going to see so many different ways
of
doing it.
Yeah, and then that's within the people that you looked after. But, of course, if you're at an auction, you know, there might be a couple of people from different branches. So you learn a lot of different ways of doing stuff. I think with the opportunity of having your own branch is that you get to do the long tail stuff. You know, you get to not just put a band-aid on it. It's, right, let's examine the wound, which sounds a bit graphic, but let's really do some long-term surgery to make sure that I'm setting up or, you know, contributing to try and set up my team for success sustainably going forward, rather than just, hey, let's fix it for now. Your branch manager's going to be back in 2 weeks and let her or him really put a long-term solution in place. That's probably the biggest challenge, but it's also the thing that I'm really enjoying.
We interviewed your previous branch manager a year or so ago, Jean, as she was nearing retirement, who told us great stories of being a real estate agent with a old UHF radio where they used to drive around and confirm if they had somebody at a viewing, and some great stories where they helped the cops one day. What was it like sort of filling in her shoes, though, because she'd been such an iconic part of not just the branch, but the brand for Mount Albert for so long.
Yeah.
Big boots to fill.
Massive. Massive, especially for someone that has got quite small feet. it was hard. Jean, I must admit, was the first time I ever heard Jean's name was when we had the Barfoot's annual conference back in 2017. And I remember saying to Mum, I'm heading along to this conference. And she said, make sure you keep an eye out for Jean Smith. You know, she's this lovely, bubbly person who Dad always really admired. And so for me, it was kind of weird in a way where Jean was one of the first people at Barfoot's that I properly met. And then, you know, you fast forward and I'm, as you said, you know, stepping into her shoes to try and, take the branch on to that next step. It was really hard because I think I was really mindful that you didn't want to do anything that, changed the dial too quickly. Mm-hmm. But I think having had those really upfront conversations with Jean, I think that made it really easy. Mm-hmm. And she was hugely helpful in terms of saying, hey, look, if I was to be here for a little bit longer, these are some of the things that I'd do.
Right.
And that was a great way to build up some momentum, learn a little bit more about the team. She's a massive people person. You know, her team was her family, so getting some insights on that front. But I think also, dare I say it, the team themselves, you know, appreciating that it was going to be a big upheaval for them.
Yeah.
And I think going into it, bearing, you know, at all times thinking, okay, cool, even if I think it's the right thing, let's just go one step at a time and make sure that they're coming on the journey as well. And they've been awesome. They've been unreal. So it's been great.
That's cool. Thinking now, okay, branch manager hat on, the Auckland market, let's switch to that, and your knowledge and expertise in this space. How are we looking for 2026? Get the crystal ball out. What's happening?
Yeah, crystal ball. No, I'm really excited. You know, I think the listing numbers that we're seeing are really great, and people having that confidence. And I think that's the big thing that seems to be back. I think if you talk to people this time last year, say, they wouldn't have wanted to have the chat about the property at all. You know, it doesn't matter how good the reason was. Mm. Whereas I think now, not necessarily saying that everyone's rushing to the market tomorrow, but I think people are comfortable having a conversation around making a plan, which I think to me is more, okay, we're not, I think it's no surprise that we're there now, but I think we're certainly on track. I think the biggest thing as well is seeing those interest rates actually go up, which I know sounds a bit weird, but I think once people see them go up, everyone feels comfortable, right, we've seen the bottom. So now we're comfortable that it's not going to get any better, and now we can start making some long-term financial choices, which of course in turn inevitably leads to, right, well, what's the next move on the property going to be?
And how did your sales team cope with 2025, and, you know, where are they sitting? Are they feeling comfortable with where they're heading this year?
Yeah, I think they're, you know, sitting down with a lot of them, as most branch managers do at the beginning of the calendar year. Obviously, our financial year is April, March, and putting some goals and ambitions in place, and I think people are more open to those conversations. Again, my team's probably not the best team. They had a pretty big upheaval last year with getting some, you know, young new whippersnapper halfway through the year. But, no, the team's feeling good. I think even talking to them on the Mondays after open homes and getting that feedback, I was talking to Gavin Hahn, our number one agent today, and he was saying, you know, that there was an open home where they didn't have anyone through for 3 weeks, the last 3 weeks. Mom. And then over the weekend, you know, three groups through, two of them really interested. So things like that, you pick up on that from the front line, and they can really give you some valuable feedback as to which way the wind's blowing.
And are auctions still the way to go for selling?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I'm biased. As a salesperson, it was, you know, really crunched into me that auctions was the best way, but I know from my track record, I know from, you look at any of the top agents, not just within Barford and Thompson, but throughout Auckland, auctions is most definitely the best way to do it. I think getting an unconditional offer in this market is absolute gold, and I really... Quite right. Like, you know, if I was a purchaser, there's no way I'd be going unconditional unless I had to.
Right.
And so I think you kind of reverse analyze that and say, yeah, 100% should be going to auction.
So what advice do you give somebody who's listening right now thinking, do we, don't we put our house on the market? Do we wait? Do we see if it changes? What advice do you give to someone who's sitting quite unsure?
Yeah, I think same as anything, research, you know, reach out. It staggers me that people seem to be surprised that we do free appraisals.
Right.
You know, have the chat with your local real estate agent, and if you want to save yourself some time and some stress of listening to a massive spiel, explain to them that, hey, look, this is just the first step. You're not going to the market next week. You're not talking to anyone else. You just want to have a chat. And I think that quite often will put the agent at ease and mean that they... You know, you get to avoid the commission breath, and they'll probably be a little bit more open to the conversation.
Yeah. Rather, more of a relationship building conversation.
Chat, right?
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
More of a more of the market appraisal rather than specifically the full nine yards.
And if we switch that, and you're a buyer in the market, any advice for them in today's market?
Yeah, no, great question. And I think a question that probably doesn't get often asked. The first thing I always say is start kind of open homes, you know, but, and I know that sounds weird, but definitely do that before you talk to your bank. More that it means that you get a much better idea of what you're actually looking for. As a salesperson, the number of people that would come in, you know, they come into an open home, you'd be talking to them, and really quickly when you're qualifying them for the property that you're selling, you'd find out they don't actually really know what they want. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I think it's going into that and acknowledging that and saying, hey, look, you know, let's have a look at three biddies, let's have a look at two biddies, let's have a look at different suburbs and see what it is that we're after. Because once you've got an idea around what you want, it makes it a hell of a lot easier to have those chats with finance teams and that to try and figure out how you get it.
What about as an investor? You've got a fabulous property management team. We've chatted to Renee before. What are they seeing in the investment space at the moment? Has sort of this healthy homes sort of scare, if you like, of last year as everyone worked towards the deadlines, did that see a lot of houses sell, or is it still a good space to be in?
No, I think it's still, you know, it's still a very solid space to be in. I think you had some people that were... You know, their risk profile probably changed when the interest rates went up, and obviously rental, you know, the amount they were able to get for their rental properties came back a little bit. I think some of the ROI numbers would have gotten a bit skinny on that. But look, you know, we, as most property management portfolios would have done last year, they lost a number of properties to selling. We also had a whole bunch of people come on board, so I think there is the traditional ebb and flow. I think it's definitely a lot slower now in terms of the ebb, and to your point around healthy homes, I think now it's very common, right? Like if we go back 12 months, everyone was probably a little bit more concerned, whereas I think now everyone understands, you know, it's exactly the same as, you know, when you buy a car, it's got to have four wheels.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays when you buy a property for investment, you have to have it healthy homes, and I think the fines are such that it's just, again, you look at that risk profile, it's just not worth it.
Mm. Look, media has so much sort of marketing, I guess, at the moment around alternative investments. We're seeing gold coming back in lots of adverts, buying shares. Sharesies have recently released their new package with KiwiSaver, buying Bitcoin. Do you still think houses are as strong as ever as an investment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good spine for your portfolio. I obviously say that from a point.
Good way of saying it.
Mm. Yeah, like, and then you flesh it out, and again, you diversify your risk in your portfolio. I think obviously it's a hell of a lot cheaper to buy shares, or sorry, probably not cheaper is not the right word. It's a lot more accessible to buy.
Work with your budget.
100%. Yeah. You know, not everyone can afford to go out and buy an investment property. I think if you have the option, I'd say home ownership or property ownership, I should probably say, is very solid. One of the things that I was, you know, from a personal point of view, I've been surprised probably hasn't been as much of a thing in New Zealand yet. I know there's a couple of companies that have tried it, but it's fractionalised ownership of property. So essentially, you know, you buy an asset class which the asset owns, or you buy a share of an asset which then owns a whole bunch of property. We haven't seen that come in as much, but I know there's been some people that have tried it. But yeah, I think myself and my wife, we're looking at buying some investments over in Australia, and one of the attraction to us was the fact that the underlying asset was land. You know, they're not, it's so cliche and it makes me sound like a cheap real estate agent when I say it, but they're not making any more of it, right? I know Elon's trying, but the rest of the general public aren't trying to make any more of it. So I think
you have to somewhere to put those sheep and cows from the earlier days.
Yeah, exactly, right? But yeah, I think anything where the underlying asset is land is always going to go pretty well.
How can your team help a first-time investor?
Oh, again, like I said before, just having a chat. You know, anyone that knows me knows that I'm pretty big on supply chain management, and therefore being a bit of a process. And hey, let's just not worry about where, you know, the end destination. Let's just put one foot in front of the other. And I think also, like I said, getting some really good understanding around your key metrics and numbers. You know, much easier to have that conversation at the start, and then look, you know, being realistic around return on investment, and then going from there. And again, it's the next step probably where my team can kick in terms of the care and explaining, you know, simple things. We had a family friend come to us last week looking at renting her place, and she got it immediately. It was awesome. It was so easy to deal with in terms of, hey, if you rent your property, you know, let's aim for the market premium, but let's have a quick conversation around, right, let's not have it just sitting there for ages holding out for the best price, because by the time you drop it down to the market rent, you've already lost 3 weeks' income, and so it kind of all comes out in the wash. So little things like that where the team could be a little bit more pragmatic, and they're qualified to give that information as well.
Now, without giving away any trade secrets here, can you share with us what some of your goals are for, I guess, your branch and the business?
Yeah, the branch is probably the easier one. I don't want to speak too broadly. But no, I think for us it's, I think the sales team definitely getting, you know, we've got some really good, again, sounding like a bit of a sleaze, but we've got some really good green shoots there as well. And I think capitalising on that momentum would be awesome. We've had some great new recruits come into the branch this year. And, you know, even in the couple of weeks they've been there, you can just see that they've got good heads on their shoulders and are just saying the right things. The property management team, I must say, you know, we've had a bit of turnaround in that space, and that's been awesome. So that's been really cool. I think for me it's about energy. You know, if you're putting in the good energy, and it really is that you can really spiral upwards in the best way. Conversely, you know, negative energy can really suck you down. So I think Renee, my head of property management, and I are really just trying to pump that good energy, and I must say it's paying off hugely.
Brilliant. Technology is a big thing these days, especially in real estate. How is it playing a part in everything you and your staff are doing, or I guess encountering out there? Are you finding more and more people using AI to sort of find their ideal property, or to ask you tougher questions? How's it influencing things?
Yeah, it's the compliance space. It's definitely been a factor. Like you sit down and you see some complaints, and you definitely start seeing some common themes and common elements, which is great, because, I mean, you know, we want to treat every complaint with the respect it deserves. The flip side of that is that, you know, the people that are complaining, they themselves are probably a little bit more clued up as to what responses we might give. So right. I think I view it more as a qualifying metric. I think as well from a team perspective, same as a lot of these websites, you know, OneRoof, Trade Me, you know, realestate.co.nz, they all offer market valuations now So the team themselves have got to be more qualified and ready to answer those questions because the clients are more qualified and willing to ask those questions. And for AI, it's the same. You know, I think.
Do you find your team get challenged by that though? If they're coming out with an appraisal that is quite different to something that AI has told them?
Yeah, sometimes. But yeah. I think, dare I say it, you know, I trust that the team I'm fortunate enough to lead is they're good enough at their jobs that they can talk to it. You know, they're not threatened by it. It's a case of cool. You know, this is how we've arrived at the destination around price or around a solution, and this is the process that we've taken. And I think once people see that, they realise that, okay, cool, this person isn't just making up the numbers. It's not two AI bots that are just competing against each other. It's, oh no, this person actually gets it.
When it comes to a career choice, what sort of person do you think makes a good property manager or a good salesperson in your eyes? You've done both.
Yeah.
If you're now interviewing somebody, what are you looking for?
They're quite different. I know they're both within the property sphere, but they are quite different personalities. Property management for me is probably a lot more process driven, but and a lot more patient. I think you certainly have to be patient as a salesperson, but I think as a property manager, it's going in with that mindset of look. A lot of the job is going to be solving problems and not particularly easy solutions either. Sales is same, the different. It's a lot more building trust at a very quick pace and really being able to show worth and then backing it up with information and process to an extent, but also an ability to pivot quite quickly. You know, if we think about a property manager, you know, the relationship there might be, you know, four times a year doing an inspection, might have a change of tenancy every 2 years. So, you know, you've got a couple of entry and exits in there. But there's a lot of small touch points over a very long period of time. Sales is like, bam, you're in a relationship for 90 days. It's intense. You know, you're blowing up each other's phones and then suddenly, you know, there might be a 7-year hiatus. Yeah, it's quite a different relationship.
But you want to make an impact, so in 7 years
hugely,
they come back to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and you also want them to be telling their mates about it. So both roles in some ways can be really similar, but in other ways can be drastically different. So obviously there's different personality types that suit both of those roles.
Now, we're a national program, and obviously Barford & Thompson is from Bay of Plenty through to Kerikeri in the north. So, of course, you will recommend them in those regions. But I want you to step outside that for a second. If somebody is listening, say, in the South Island, for example, and they're wanting to start a career in real estate, what advice do you give them on choosing the right company to work for? What should they be looking for out there?
Yeah, I don't know if it's an industry secret. There's definitely differences between each of the major agencies, and generally, not always, but generally there's certain agencies that are known for certain things and will suit certain different personality types and different price points, which in turn suit different personality types. The best advice I can give is, especially if you're starting out, and I really can't stress this enough, is the branch manager. Like that's the difference.
Yeah.
Like the branch manager, and I've been really fortunate that the branch manager that I had, both when I started property management and then also when I started sales, understood that it's such an emotional roller coaster. Like a lot of people talk about the cash flow roller coaster of, you know, it could be 6 months before you get your first sale, and then, you know, you might come across a real windfall, and then it could be feast or famine. But I think what people don't talk about enough is the emotional drain it takes. You know, I was really lucky that one of my mentors, first thing that he did when I mentioned I wanted to go into sales was he said, right, come around for dinner and bring your partner. And so me and my then girlfriend, now wife, went along and he just said, right, Matt, you sit there and I'm going to explain to Bella what this is going to be like. And the fact that, you know, she is going to be going to parties where on a Saturday where I can't attend, or, you know, she is going to be going for an overnight trip with her mates and I've got to stay back because I've got open homes the next day, and for the first year that it is going to be a real grind. And I think the branch managers that can do that and understand that and you can connect with on an emotional level will always set you up for success. And it might not be as sexy, you know. But I think definitely from a long-term perspective, those are the ones that you always... You want to be able to trust the person that is pretty much taking your life in their hands, right? It's a very powerful relationship that certainly as a branch manager, I've definitely never taken for granted.
Talk us through the franchise, non-franchise model, because for Barfoot & Thompson, you're not a franchise.
Yep.
That's that family-owned business versus many of the other companies that are out there are franchise. How does that impact, say, a salesperson choosing which company to work for, do you think?
I had this conversation literally this morning, so that's really fresh. I think it comes down to access. I think, look, I'll probably go against the family grain. There's a lot of advantages to a franchise.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot more independence. As a franchise owner or as a branch manager, you know, you're not having to worry about the beast of 2,500 people. You know, you can be a little bit more fluid. The flip side is that, as we've seen in recent weeks, you know, the ownership could change. And I know of a franchise where the salespeople showed up to work on the Monday and there was a padlock on the door.
Wow.
And it's definitely not happening at Barfoot & Thompson anytime soon.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more cutthroat. I think as well, access to property. You know, if you're a salesperson, or if you're a vendor, sorry, and you're selling your house through Barfoot & Thompson, there are 2,000 people that can go through that home. Now, there's obviously security that we always are mindful of, but the fact that you can introduce that many buyers and it's straight off the bat is just so powerful. You know, you're not having to worry about paperwork or people scrapping over commissions. It's just, hey, these are the rules. Don't mess with them. This is it. And as a vendor, having the buyers means that you've got the competition. Having the competition means that you're going to get a premium price. It's for me, it's a no-brainer. But yeah, it's certainly not a one-way street, but it's a pretty powerful street.
You referred earlier to the support centre.
Yes.
Fill our listeners in, what model is that? Is that like a head office out there?
Yeah, it is a head office, I suppose. It used to be called head office, but I think, you know, credit to Chris that really wanted to drive that cultural change of... they offer support. It sounds really simple, but, you know, it's, again, probably one of the benefits, going back a step to the franchise versus the non-franchise. You know, I can, and I do it all the time, call up our compliance team, and I've got, you know, qualified lawyers on the phone giving me advice of how I can offer solutions to the salespeople and their clients, whereas if you're in a franchise, then I'd imagine you'd be calling a lawyer, you'd be calling mates, but I think to get that qualified advice on hand is really powerful. Exactly the same with property management, exactly the same with finance. I can tell you, having worked in the finance team, that Barfoot & Thompson are certainly not going to have trust issues anytime soon.
Yeah.
No one's going to get sticky hands. And I think that support is one thing. I think the credibility that lends, though, you know, when you explain to clients, you know, this is where we're at, it's pretty powerful.
All right, Matt, if I get you back in 5 years' time, where will you be in the company?
I'd really like to still be at Mount Talbot.
Nice.
I think there is obviously family elements to that, which means that might be something else going on. But I think for me, you know, branch management for me has been a real North Star, and something I've worked really hard to achieve, and I think I owe it to the team to really put my best foot forward. Like I said, I'm loving the long tail stuff, so for me it's more, if I could be at Mount Talbot, that'd be brilliant, you know, with a few changes, but overall just trying to build on the momentum every year. But yeah, at the end of the day, it is what it is. We'll just see what happens.
Brilliant. Matt, thank you for coming and sharing time with us on a Monday afternoon. We appreciate it. If you want to find out anything more about Matt and his team, head to barfoot.co.nz/Mount Albert. Thank you, Matt.
Cheers.
Much appreciated.
It was awesome.
Awesome. We'll catch you again
soon.
Cheers, Stephen. Thanks so much, guys. Next week, we are chatting to a fabulous person all about what to do if you're going through separation and divorce and what that means for property and children. Join us next week on Property Matters. Have a fabulous week. Drive safe. Take care.